are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Welcome back. The concept of masculinity in the Bible is a complex and multifaceted, reflecting the diverse cultural and historical concepts in which the Bible, the biblical texts, were written. Various characters and passages in the Bible contribute to the shaping idea of masculinity, often influenced by cultural norms, societal expectations, and religious beliefs. We are speaking about all things biblical masculinity. You see, this terms, yes, while we're growing up, yes, we didn't have such terms, but now we have them. And you know, your sexism, your feminism, your masculinity, we are wondering to live. So we're speaking about biblical masculinity today, and we're joined on the line by my pastor. I don't want to Englishize his name. Pastor, is it Shaile, or did I say it correctly, Mpundiswam? Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Yes, that's the way it is pronounced. Oh, Shaile.
Shaile. Ah, thank you, Fundis. You know, at first when I was introducing you that we're going to speak to you, I'm like, hey, I pray I don't Englishize the word because we tend to do that this way. I hope you are well, my pastor.
I'm well, thank you so much. And how are you doing?
I am good, Mfundiswami. Thank you so much for coming through and speaking to us about this very interesting topic, Mfundiswami. So I'm going to ask that before we start, can you please pray so that the Holy Spirit may guide us in this conversation?
All right, thank you so much. Shall we just play together, pray? Eternal loving Father in heaven, this morning we just want to say thank you for being our God and for being so faithful to us. We thank you, loving Father, for the breath of life in our nostrils. And we thank you also for this grace that you have extended to us, loving Father, that we have a dialogue, we discuss on the issue pertaining masculinity. All I pray and ask is that, Lord, in this conversation, in this lesson, may you accompany us through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. And from this, you know, whenever we're studying the Bible, we do find quite a number of things and characters that are there. But who are some, you know, typical figures of masculinity in the Bible? And what are some of the characteristics that define them as such?
All right. Thank you so much. That's an interesting question. Maybe before I just go into answering the question, maybe just an overview of what masculinity is. In simple terms, we say masculinity involves displaying attitudes and behaviors that signify and validate maleness. And this involves being recognized in particular ways by other men and women. So in the Bible, when we open the scripture, we find a lot of archetypal figures of masculinity. And one of them that I have just selected today is number one, we've got David. Now, David, because of his bravery, his courageousness in terms of facing the gigantic man by the name of Goliath, is one of the prominent figures of the Old Testament or of the biblical narratives who comes out to be an archetypal figure of masculinity. And we've got also the man by the name of Jephthah. This is a man who was rejected by his own family. And then he ran to the land of Tob. There he just, you know, picked up himself and really became a great warrior. This is the person that when the children of Israel were attacked, they had gone to summon him to say, well, come and fight for us. And so this one comes to be a prominent figure. He was a warrior. Mm-hmm. He was very strong. And we know, You know, when talk of masculinity, we mean people who are, you know, who have power, people who can protect.
Yeah.
You know, even if somebody beats you, you run to them and you know, when I just run to that one, I'm very much safe. And one of those was Jeff. The other one we can talk of was Joseph. Joseph was humble. You know, masculinity is not all about being powerful, being strong.
And then the network decided to act out on masculinity. Like, really? Really, network? Really? You know, when this was speaking there about Joseph and saying, Joseph, is there. You know, pela masculinity is all not all about roughness. Okay, let me try get back the pastor again, because the network decided to play some masculinity things on us. Wait, is the network feminine? Maybe the network is feminine, guys. So that's why it's giving. Why are we speaking about masculinity here instead of speaking about, you know, feminism? You know, maybe. When this open in the network, guys. Okay, let me try call the person on a different line. All right, I'm going to be serious. I was called, my elder is calling me to all the things. I don't know, let me see if I can get the pastor here on a different line, because this one just decided, you know, to do. And the pastor was speaking nicely there, speaking about Joseph, saying that Joseph is also part of, also has shown some types of masculinity. Oh, okay, it's ringing. Okay, it's ringing on both sides. Okay, let me drop this one. All right. Mpundisi, welcome back.
Thank you so much. Sorry, there was a network breakdown.
Okay, all right, Mpundisi. You were speaking about Joseph, Mpundisi, and how masculinity is not always rough.
Yes. Yeah, so you, I was just saying, sometimes masculinity is depicted in the context of being a great warrior, somebody who is muscular, someone who is all powerful. But here's a man who was just humble, and this is a man who feared God. He had to forgive his brothers even after they had really betrayed him. After a long period of time, when they met, he forgave them. That's one of the figures. And the other one, this is the man himself, the man amongst the men, the name of Jesus Christ. He's a man. You see, he was selfless. He sacrificed for the benefit of others. He died that shameful death on the cross of Calvary just in order for us to benefit. Now, we are healed because of his stripes. And this is one of the men who really signified or taught us on how masculinity is all defined. Everything masculinity is defined and embedded in the name, in the person of Jesus Christ. And we've got other people like Samson. Those are men born just to defeat the enemies of Israel. And there are so many. Otherwise, I can mention and mention, but these few names that I've just mentioned, they serve as the archetypes, figures of masculinity, archetypal figures of masculinity. Thank you so much, my leader.
So, Mpundiswami, you know, these figures, how do they contribute to shaping cultural perceptions of masculinity? Because sometimes whenever we're thinking about masculinity, we're like, it's all about roughness, you know, it's all about being in order and stuff like that. But did these figures that, you know, you've mentioned some of them, contribute to, say, shaping that, and how did they do so?
All right, thank you so much. Yeah, these figures really contribute to shaping cultural perceptions. Let me just cite a very practical example, especially here where I am in my country. You see, as a man, you are expected to be so strong. You are not expected to cry. For instance, if there's something that has happened, just because of this thing, of these men that are depicted in the Bible. As a man, you are told, no, be strong. You are a man. And, you know, they even say, you are a man. Meaning, you know, there is that perception which the society, or rather the community, has towards a man. We are strong. It's like we do not have feelings. We cannot cry. We are not emotional. You know, we don't experience pain. You know, that's the perception of the society in terms to do with masculinity. The other thing is, you know, as a man, we are expected to protect our family members. Now, I'll just give again, you know, this practical example, bringing it home. Here's a man who cannot even fight for his children. Here's a man, you know, who is attacked and he's the first one to go under the bed. I know they will say that's not a man, because, you know, when a family is attacked, the first person, or rather the person who to defend the rest of the family members is the man. So the men are, you know, the people expect men to be strong, to be all powerful, to protect and to provide everything. And that's the state we have lived in. You know, if you are a man and then you do not provide, then I don't know how the society will look at you. So this is what happens. And the other thing is sacrifice. Any man who doesn't sacrifice really will not be taken to be so serious. You know, people will tend to say, that one is not a man. You know, men are supposed to sacrifice. Men are supposed to do this and that. So this is what is happening, my leader, in the society. Men are always supposed to be men. That's what we are taught. Because of these men that we have just mentioned from the Bible, they showed their bravery, their skills, they were strong. So that really has also shaped the community to have the perception towards men to say they can do this, they can reach up to that path. That's what is happening. Thank you.
Mfundisi, this one is going to be quite interesting. Ne? So, what role do men play as providers and protectors in biblical narratives? The reason why I'm saying it's going to be interesting, Mfundisi, because we've had this conversation quite a number of times where there are arguments saying that the narrative that men are providers, is not right. It's not right and it's not biblical. Yeah. Not biblical. You can't find it anywhere in the Bible, you know. So, do this man, Mfundisi, you know, in this Bible narratives, you know, what role do they play in terms of provision and protection?
All right. Thank you so much. Wow, this is interesting as you've just said it. You see, men are providers and protectors. In this sense, number one, talk of, I'll just cite this practical thing, spiritual leadership. You see, a man is supposed to groom his family to an extent where they will know God. They'll be strong in the Lord. They'll be strong in the spirit. One of the biblical examples that I will give is the story of Jacob.
Okay. You know,
Jacob, yes, when he wanted to return to Bethel, what he did was to tell his family members to say, now you prepare yourselves. Mm. We are going to Bethel, the house of the Lord. Meaning, as leaders of the family, men are also expected to provide spiritual leadership.
Yeah.
And the other thing is the role of men. Of course, we get it from the Bible again in Genesis, Adam. No, men are supposed to really provide, when talk of physical, this food we eat, men are supposed to provide. They are the ones to provide. That's the notion which we have to say, you know, as long as you are a man, you are supposed to really make sure that you provide. In our language, there's a Tonga language here, and there's this saying which says, which goes by saying, Muntu musankolele degu zwabusu. Zwabusu wana balalire. Meaning, a direct translation, we can say, you need to come, you know, milimil should come out of you so that people should can eat. Milimil should come out of you so that others eat. Mm. Meaning, this is direct proverb which goes to a man. Meaning, if you are not a man, you see, if there is no mirimi which comes out of you, meaning you are not a man.
Mm.
So that is what happens. And also we've got, you know, as leaders, as providers and protectors, men are expected to lead by example. They are not supposed to be cowards. They are not supposed to be people who cry always, people who are like what? These are some of the things, the roles of men to provide spiritual leadership, you know, to love and sacrifice their families, to provide food for their families, clothing and whatsoever. Everything is on men. Everything is on, you know, sometimes, just a quick one, you find that here's a man and a woman, both of them are employed, they are working. But you see, the money, I've heard of people saying, you know, this money, my money. Women say, my money is my man. But my husband's money is our money. Meaning, yes, he's the provider.
Yes.
Everything is on the man. And this is, you know, this is what it is. I mean, what's happening in the community today.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Let's put the full stop here.
You are right, Mpundi Sizene, sir. My money. It's my money. Yeah, Dala. Yo, before the elders call me for a counseling session. I'm joking. Okay. So, Mpundi, you know, how do these roles now contribute to the overall understanding of masculinity? We understand that even though we may debate it, even though sometimes we don't agree with that whole thing of men being providers, but we know that it's something that is there. So now how do they contribute to the overall understanding of masculinity?
All right. All these things, they really contribute in this way. Because outside of this, one writer said, a man is everything. Once you have a man, then you have everything. Once there's a man at home, then you are safe. You know, a home which does not have a man is incomplete. The writer said that. So this whole understanding is that a man needs to be a man and must be different from the ladies. So meaning there must be a distinction. Mm. There must be a distinction, you know, how a man behaves, how a man does things, and how ladies or women do things. There must be a distinction. And this is the overall understanding is that indeed, a man should be a man who makes some differences when he is present. Mm. And this is what is there in this world. If you are there as a man and people are in problems, you can't offer any tangible solution, then you will be counted to be just a man in, you know, a man in a trousers, but not really a man. You will not be counted to be a man. That's what I can say just on this one.
Difficult. Yeah, as a person who's always arguing that one, it's a difficult button for this one. So how now does the Bible, you know, narrative challenge traditional notions of power in relation to masculinity? Do we have where the Bible is challenging the traditional notions of power?
Oh, yes. We have that. I know the Bible challenges us. You know, as opposed to aggression, violent, you know, having, you know, excessive power in relation to masculinity, this biblical narrative teaches us that all that is not, you know, everything, you know, having power and everything, you know, having, you know, authority, being masculine and whatsoever. That's not all about masculinity, you know, but, you know, being masculine is being pure, being true, and you need to submit. That's submission and self-sacrifice. Mm. You know, you may be powerful. You may have all what it takes as a man. You may be strong. You may be brave, but provided there is nothing to do with submission and self-sacrifice, then you are lacking as a man. So true masculinity, according to the biblical teachings, is all about submission and self-sacrifice. Paul talks of submission. Even the practical and the closer example that I can give is that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, he was a man, but he submitted himself. He submitted even up to the point of death. So masculinity is not all about being powerful, you know, protecting everyone. You may do that, but provided you do not submit, there is no self-sacrifice in you. There is no selflessness. You are selfish. You are egocentric. All those things. Then, according to the Bible, that's not masculinity, because if we read in the Bible, men are supposed to sacrifice, men are supposed to be humble, men are supposed to submit, men are supposed to understand other people. We've got, for example, the story of Jonathan and David. Uh-huh. No, Jonathan was supposed to be the next king after Saul. But here is Jonathan, who understands everything, and he even helps David to be a king because he protected David from being killed by the father. But if Jonathan was somebody who was selfish, you know, because he knew that he was going to be the next king, he was not going to help his friend. But we can see that even in his masculinity, because Jonathan was a soldier, but he did not fight his friend. That is masculinity. It's not all about protecting, fighting, and being strong or arrogant, you know, aggressive, and all those things. It's all about having humility and self-sacrifice. Thank you.
Mfundisi, you have been speaking about submission, right? I just wanted to touch on that. If there's a man listening to us right now, I know they are. What do you mean there when you're speaking about submission? Whom or what are they submitting to? Because when we go there to the book of Ephesians, right, we understand that us as men, we have to submit to the men. Yeah, but now as a man, what are they submitting to? Because we hardly speak about men submitting. We all mostly speak about women submitting, you know. So just to clarify that for us, what are they submitting to or to whom?
All right. Thank you so much. The Bible reminds me to say two cannot walk together unless they agree. Mm-hmm. That's what the scriptures say. And so the husband and the wife, you know, there's the husbands love your wives, just like Christ loved the church. Mm. And so women are supposed to submit. But now here's the thing. You see, where there is love, there is submission. You cannot say, I love this person without submitting yourself. This is what Jesus Christ did. Jesus loves the church. And what did he do? He submitted himself even to the point of dying that excruciating pain, you know, excruciating death on the cross of Calvary. Meaning, you know, where love is, there it must be reciprocated. Mm-hmm. There must be reciprocation. When the Bible says, Women are supposed to love and women are supposed to submit. So now the question therefore could be, should women be in marriages or in a relationship based on the fact that they are only supposed to submit? They shouldn't love men, but they should just embrace submission. It doesn't work like that. Mm. So in that same submission, there is love.
Yeah.
Even as men love their women, they submit. So they are submitting to their women because love cutters everything. Love is humble. Love, you know, is submissive. Love is selfless. And that is the principle of the Bible. Mm. As a man, you don't need to say, well, I'm a man, so I'm the head of the house. I can do this, I can do that. You don't need to do that. As a man of love, learn from the master himself, Jesus Christ, who loved and submitted himself to the wife. And who is the wife? The church. So men are supposed to do that. And they're supposed to behave in that way. That is what it means. That's love. Love is submission. Men are supposed to be submissive also to their wives. And wives are supposed to love their husbands. That's what makes two people to be together. And that's what marriage is all about.
Okay, indeed, Mfundisi wami. Hi, Pastor, we have heard, as the Bible says, that let them that have ears hear. We have heard Mfundisi wami regarding the issue of biblical masculinity there. So I'm going to ask Pastor that, can you please pray so that our men, you know, they might understand masculinity and understand that it's not the best stuff, you know, and then you can pray for us, Mfundisi wami.
All right, thank you so much. Shall we pray together? Everlasting Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, we want to say thank you, Lord, for this wonderful discussion that we've had with my leader and all those that have been following this discourse. All we ask and pray, loving Father, is that as the children of the light, the children of God, we may be an example to the rest of the world. That, loving Father, we will not take advantage of the women that are powerless, the women that may sometimes tend to be vulnerable. May you teach us, Lord, what true masculinity is. I pray that, Lord, your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will abide with us even as we abide in him. So bless this medium, bless my leader, and bless all of the listeners. For this I do ask and pray in the name of Jesus that you give us a productive, a blessed day. Thank you so much. Thank you, for we know we are safe when we are with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much for coming through and speaking with us. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you so much. It is my pleasure. Have a wonderful and blessed day.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.